This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 46, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day. It is the 14th of February, 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A woman awakens in the middle of the night to find that her husband is missing from their bed. In the stillness of the house, she can hear a muffled sound downstairs. She goes downstairs and looks around, but she can't find her husband. Listening again, she can definitely hear moaning. She goes down to the basement where she finds her husband crouched in the corner facing the wall and sobbing. "What's wrong with you?" she asks. "Remember when your father caught us having sex when you were 16, he says. "And remember, I had two choices. I could either marry you or spend the next 20 years in prison." Baffled, the woman says, "Yes, I remember. So what? Today is the day I would have gotten out."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of East, my friends, Son of East, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is episode number 46, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It is Valentine's Day. It's the 14th of February, 2007. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here as my special Valentine. For what's going to be a great show for you today, this is the big pre-op, pre-brain surgery, pre-zap in my head with deadly amounts of radiation. Nothing to worry about. It's just like having your teeth cleaned if you had your teeth cleaned by a nuclear bomb. So it's going to be a good show. What do we got going on today? We got all of our regulars with us today. We're going to have some questions for Ask Parviz. We've been promising those for the last few weeks, but we haven't gotten around to them. But we got them on tape, and we're going to be bringing them up, and we'll ask Parviz a few questions. We got Sean on the phone. We got Jason from the red carpet at the Grammy Awards. We'll be checking in with our good friend Ken Turetsky. He'll teach us the meaning of love, or something like that. And Eliza Alfertig, our good friend, we haven't heard from her in a few weeks. She's over at Harvard University. As you may have heard in the newspaper, Harvard has elected their first woman president. This is a big-time, big-deal thing for the university to be doing, so we'll be talking to Eliza. Plus other stuff and assorted nonsense, so we invite you to stick around. We think you'll have a good show, and as long as you are here, let us first say Son of Easter, our good friend Parviz Vitali. Son of Easter, my friend.
Son of Easter, Robin. Son of Easter, Robin!
Can't do it just like once, can you?
Nope.
Just don't have it in you.
Nope.
Not there at all. Nothing.
Nope. Every all week right. I feel inspired by you.
And every week you do the same shit.
Inspire me differently then.
This is the part of the show where Parviz clears his throat. And then he breathes heavily into the microphone. Yes, exactly. You knew exactly what I was going for.
That was to Coven last week, not me. And I actually watched it happen. I could see him.
And it's... And now you understand how disturbing it is.
To sleep at a show, yeah.
And Son of Easter and a happy Valentine's Day to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Easter, Robin. Son of Easter, Robin. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
It's like a plague.
This is the part of the show where Sherry begins to eat.
Begins to eat. Right. That'll be our theme. We just double everything. It's really only an hour show.
That was good. I like that. I ruined the joke, though. I fucked up the punchline.
Well, how did you fuck it up? I mean, it was a terrible joke, so how could you screw it up more?
Okay, fine.
No, how did you
moving
screw it up?
On.
No, I'm curious. I mean, it was a pretty bad joke.
Oh, moving on.
I just would have got out now.
What?
How'd you screw it up?
I would have gotten out today. See, the last word should have been today. It's two syllables. Today is funnier than now.
Oh, you changed it up.
I fucked it up.
Oh.
That's why they're not letting me do the surgery. They said I could. They were going to give me like a mirror. They were going to give me a mirror. And they go, you know, you could do it yourself if you want. We'll actually let you push the button. Some kind of cruel fucking, you know, Russian roulette of radial surgery. You know, it's like, do you want to do it? Do you want to do it?
Are they going to shave your hair?
What? No.
No?
No, 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 okay. No. In fact, I get to wear a t-shirt.
This is a big deal. I had brain surgery and all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
All right, a little brain surgery for Kippa Dada and Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney. Harry Whittington. Oh, Whitney. Kenneth.
Home networking.
Samuel L. Jackson.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Ali L. Waller. And Jerry L. Seinfeld.
Stop laughing, it's not funny.
The Harry Whittington could also be Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, I don't get it.
All right. So let's talk about the brain surgery. You went today to see your doctor.
So I went up to San Francisco today to have the... So first of all, not like life is ever going to be fucking easy for me. And I don't. And I realized today, I was talking to my sister, and I said, you know, it's everything that's difficult for me, it's even more difficult. And the only thing is, thank God I don't have a rash. But it's still, you know, that you don't know that story?
No.
You need to listen to some of the earlier shows.
Okay.
When you're not here, you actually need to listen to the program.
Was I on the show?
It's an ongoing story.
Was I on the show?
I don't remember. But it's an ongoing story.
About a rash.
It's a philosophical kind of thing.
Oh.
But there you go. You were late. You're supposed to open that a minute ago when we were introducing you.
I'm being quiet.
If I can hear it on the microphone, it's not quiet enough, is all I'm saying.
Because the ears are back here. Here's the microphone.
Exactly. And thank now you, please. Thank you. Okay, good.
All right, I'll just take a sip of this now.
Okay, please do. Good. All right, she's good enough for another minute.
So everything in your life is difficult, even more difficult.
And I said to my sister, I said, I feel like I'm a cat toy for the gods. You know, like they kind of bat me around a little bit, you know? It's just... Okay, that wasn't funny either. Okay, so a woman awakens in the middle of the night to find her husband missing from their bed. I would have gotten out today!
Oh, jeez. All right, so talked about
so
your
anyhow,
surgery.
So the surgery is scheduled for Friday. Okay. Last Wednesday, right after the show, I get a voicemail message on the line that we use for the show from the administrator at the hospital saying that there's some issue with the insurance. I need to call her first thing tomorrow morning. And I'm thinking, well, it's not like they're paying double. You know, she's not leaving a message that there's good news. Turns out that the insurance company has declined coverage of the surgery.
Wow.
Yes. Big fucking wow. Saying that it is unnecessary and experimental. Since it has apparently been classified as extracranial. Now, you have to understand that a brain tumor is inside my head. Therefore, technically, it would be the opposite of extracranial. So if they've actually figured out a way to perform brain surgery extracranially, that would definitely be experimental. I mean, I understand the knee bone's connected to the arm bone, but I'm pretty sure that my brain is inside my skull. So
well,
it's
you
not,
know, with all that hair,
it's sometimes hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. But...
One foot to the left. So as a result, they decline this thing. And immediately what happens is you would rather have them render no opinion than render an opinion that it's declined, because once it's declined, now you're in that process of, well, once it's declined, we have this formal approval process, which takes anywhere between 6 weeks and the rest of your life.
Wow.
And so it's like, no, you made a mistake. It's not experimental. This is intracranial, not extracranial. And by the way, you're missing the form where the doctor had a meeting with the rest of this tumor review board. I won't bore you with the details, but anyhow, you don't have all the material. Doesn't matter. Once the rejection's in place, we can't approve it. You have to go through this process. Now I'm dealing with administrators, and of course everybody is trying to save their own ass, because it's not clear who fucked this up. Somebody either miscoded it or they typed extra instead of intra. I don't know what the deal is, but whatever it is, somebody screwed up, and so everybody's trying to cover their ass, and... Well, I had to burp. And and so, meanwhile, and I'm already, for me already, the anxiety is about as amped up as can be. I take Xanax for anxiety, which is almost impossible to get, because apparently it is like one of the most abused drugs. And so while it's listed as a legitimate drug on most pharmacies, no doctor will prescribe it for me anymore. Even though I don't abuse it, I bring them full bottles, and they're like, "Well, we can't prescribe any of this for you. We'll give you six other drugs combined together that'll make a great cocktail, but we can't give you Xanax." It's like, "Well, fucking Xanax works for me. I can go for a year without taking it at all. I just need to know that I have it." So I wind up buying Xanax illegally from a pharmacy overseas, and I've actually gotten a letter from Homeland Security because I'm breaking the law by doing this. It's illegal because it's a scheduled drug. And so, and I have a prescription. It's expired at this point. So I'm thinking to myself, I guess, yes, technically this is illegal, but it's because I can't get a fucking doctor to, they're so worried about having their license pulled by the, I guess, Food and Drug Administration, whoever pulls the doctor's licenses. They're so worried about that they'll prescribe everything but the drug that you actually need. That's what's happened, is we've lost our minds about this shit. In fact, I had a doctor once prescribe to me like three times the dosage of Xanax, one of these Xanax extended release tabs, because they're so worried that you're going to abuse it that you can't abuse the extended release. Well, of course, extended release basically zonks you out for the entire day. I don't need a full day's worth of bliss. I only need a couple of hours to kind of break that cycle of anxiety. I know myself pretty well at this point. So instead, what I did was I cut the tab up. I opened it up and I cut it up. Well, that's a mistake, because the way that extended release tabs work is it has this enteric coating on the outside that slowly dissolves in your stomach. Well, the moment you cut it up, all that shit hits your bloodstream
cocktail
immediately.
Cocktail right away.
Exactly. And so what happened was, like, instead of it being slow, it was like three times the dosage I normally needed. And I thought, well, fuck this. I'm just going to go find some pharmacy someplace that will prescribe this for me. So I have Xanax. I've only needed to take it occasionally to get to sleep at night, because I've been lying in bed sort of buzzing all night long with these bad dreams that I've been having. Well, once I found out the insurance company's not going to cover this, I'm just like fucking through the roof at this point. I'm just, the anxiety is just, it's too much. And I'm walking into things. I'm putting my keys in the freezer. I'm leaving my flashlight. I mean, I'm forgetting things. Stress is such an incredible thing that it can fuck you up so bad you don't even realize. It's like you don't realize how badly fucked up you are until you realize, wow, I'm just doing stupid shit because I'm not thinking, because my mind is just preoccupied completely. I can't get any closure. I'm writing letters. I'm making phone calls. I'm doing all of this stuff. And finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to fucking go to the appointments. I'm going to assume that this will eventually be taken care of. And right. So today, I went up for this preoperative appointment. Now, let me tell you something about this. And I'm sure that there are people in the audience who have been through serious medical kinds of things. I know in this room we've been through serious medical kind of things. The radiation part of the surgery is being brought to you by... No, the radiation part of the surgery is administered by the Radiation Oncology Group. So these are people who have cancer, and they're being treated with radiation. So this is a very sick group of people. And the waiting room for the admission for this is in the fucking basement. It looks like something out of the movie Brazil, with this bad fluorescent lighting and this dark greens. They should never, ever, ever again be allowed to make a waiting room for any patient having anything to do with cancer in fucking colors of autumn. No browns, no greens, none of these fucking beige colors. First of all, those rooms should all be on the roof with sunlights and skylights. I mean, there should be light coming in fucking everywhere. There should be yellows. There should be whites. I mean, it should just be as light and bright as can possibly be. So I'm sitting in this room in the basement, and I'm terribly depressed, because you're surrounded by really sick people in wheelchairs, and you can tell that these are people who have, many of whom have advanced diseases. And it's not that I'm worried about catching anything, but I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, if you didn't feel shitty enough before you walked in here, you're going to feel pretty fucking shitty now. So I don't understand how it is that administrators get to make the decision about what those rooms look like. Now, the brain surgery stuff is on the top floor. It's got this beautiful view out over...
Best view of San Francisco in the entire city of
San
Francisco.
You've been with me, right? It looks out over Golden Gate Park.
Yeah, this is the best kept secret in terms of... If you ever want to see the most fabulous views of San Francisco, 8th floor, UCSF Medical Center building, neurology department.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Across from 505, on the other side of the street from the hospital of 505 Parnassus. You go up there, take the elevator all the way up, and go take a look out the window.
Yep. Panoramic view of Golden Gate Park. You can see the downtown area. You can see the gate.
Right. You see everything.
Gorgeous.
It's magnificent. That, and so when you go there and you realize, oh my God, I have something wrong with my brain, and you look out and you go, it's a nice day though. So there's a balance of this whole thing. But you sit in the basement and you think, to yourself, well, this is just one step before they put you in the warehouse. I mean, it's, and I know that they don't do that intentionally. It's not somebody who thinks about how they're going to fuck with people, but it doesn't, you don't have to work very hard to, go ahead. I don't know if you,
I
could do this for 2 hours. Yeah. So.
They also, it's a similar situation at Good Sam Hospital, having had a radiation treatment or two myself. It is in the basement, and it is in a very depressing area, and that is what, when you sit there with other people that are very, very sick, I think that's when you realize how serious what
right.
you're about to go through is.
It's horrible. I mean, it's unnecessary. I mean, because I've sat with sick people before, but we're in a much more pleasant environment, mm-hmm. and there's no reason, and it's fine. At least you think to yourself, okay, this is really awful, but life still has some wonderful things involved in it, and you'll get through this the way that you can. But to be in this, it was horrible. It was horrible. So you do all the paperwork, you go through this process, and you're there with all of these sick people, and I'm just looking around, and I'm thinking to myself, clearly some of these folks are terminal, and you feel heartbroken for them, because you know what it is like to go through this process. And then they kind of go through this thing, and so this nurse comes in, he's going to take my vital signs and whatever it is, and the fucker put me on a fucking scale, and I told him not to tell me how much I weighed, because you guys know that I've been trying to lose weight, and he wouldn't tell me, but he fucking wrote it on the sheet of paper that I had to fill out, and so there it was right in the middle of the fucking piece of paper. That fuckwad. I'm so angry, because I knew that the number that I saw, when I saw how much I weighed, I knew that it would bum me out. And it fucking did.
Oh.
I've been working on losing weight for over a year now.
Well, stop it. Stop right now at the number, because you look great.
I've been working on losing weight for over a year now, and I've probably lost about 40 pounds at this point, approximately. Anyway, with all my clothes on and shit like that, so whatever it is. But the number is still probably 10 pounds higher than I thought it should be. Now, maybe if I took all my clothes off and I shit myself, then I would be at the weight that I wanted to be at.
You could also be an astronaut.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But
is that with or without
the
diaper?
Number was over this just an artificial number, but the number was over this artificial number, and I thought, you fucker. I was so angry because I didn't need to see that number. Now, I realize I've made tremendous progress, but I knew psychologically the reason I haven't stepped on a scale in 1 year, I have not stepped on a scale except in a doctor's office, is because I knew that no good can come of it. Right? I count the number of calories that I eat, and I go to the gym every day and burn off calories. So I'm always sore and I'm always hungry. That's how I lose weight. That's the key to this whole thing. So I have to go through this. So first he takes my blood pressure. Of course, my blood pressure is through the fucking roof because I'm angry that he's weighing me, and I'm in this basement with all these sick people, and you know, he's does all of that shit. Then they put you in another little room, and now you're in another little tiny room, and you're waiting for, you know, some resident to come by to kind of do the neurological exam. And there's this thing on the wall that says, you know, only make sure you wash your hands, and has like these two bad, you know, images of hands, like a kid would make a turkey, you know, at Thanksgiving. And so all I wanted to do while I was sitting there was use some whiteout to get rid of one of the fingers. I just wanted one of the fingers to be missing, you know.
Four of the fingers being missing.
As long
and
as you're
there.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, make sure you wash whatever fingers you have left on your hand. And you go through this thing, and they begin to explain to you in these very technical details what they're going to do to you. They bring the frame in that they're going to clamp to your head, and of course the nurse tells you that they're going to use pins. Right? Pins are what they use. So it's the same kind of pins that you use to put up 2x4s when you're framing a house. Pins. Right? Most people call them nails or
right.
screws. Right? It's basically a fucking nail gun that they use to put So they're going to have to screw this thing in my head.
Right.
And they say to me, you know, there's a slight amount of pain, but for most people, actually, the greater amount of pain is the injections that they have to put into your skull to numb the area before the pins go in there. And it's a combination of lidocaine and Vaseline and dog food and whatever it is. And so they have to do this on 4 different parts. But once you pass out, actually most people are very comfortable. Now, once the pain sort of goes away, you're fine. Well, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Of course, once the pain goes away, you're fine. He said, no, once it sort of numbs up and they put the frame on there, most people, they're very happy. They walk around. They lead an active life. They play tennis. They have sex. They fall asleep. And they said, you know, it's a lot. Some people have said it's an awful lot like a very tight baseball cap. And I said, yeah, only if they're like doing fucking brain surgery at Shea Stadium. That's the only way that it's like a baseball cap. And then of course, immediately they start laughing like you guys did. And then they start staring at me because they don't expect patients to be funny. And I'm thinking, this is horrible and funny at the same fucking time. And so you wind up going through this entire medical history. And here's what I thought was so interesting for me. The doctor was a resident, and it was clear that he knew I was transgender. And he wanted to ask questions about my transgender, but he didn't know how to approach it. And so, because he wanted to know if I'd had any other surgeries. And he said, so you've had this surgery? And I said, yes. You've had this surgery? I said, yes. He goes, have you any other surgeries? I go, no. Are you sure? Titty, 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 titty. Peeny, 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 peeny. I go, oh, what is it that you want to ask me here?
Did you say that?
No, no, no. But I mean, I go, yes, I'm sure. So you know, he goes, well, what about the hormones you're taking? I go, well, what about the hormones? And now we're like, so now we're dating. Okay, so that's very nice. He's cute.
Or conversing with another Jew.
I guess.
No, it's always a question with a question, right?
But I know that they're trying to be respectful, but it's so clear that I don't really care. You know, they have a hard time modulating. I think they assume that patients are not going to be intelligent, not going to be responsive. They're going to be denying this stuff. I mean, people ask me, you know, they go, do you drink? And I go, yeah, like I have like maybe one drink a week. And do you do anything else we should know about? I go, yeah, I'm an occasional marijuana smoker. You know, maybe once every 4 months, once every 6 months, I smoke a little bit of marijuana. But I don't have addictions to those kind of things. Chocolate, yes. You know, drugs, Xanax, not. No. So you need to know that stuff, write it down, that kind of thing. But I think most people lie. You ever watch House, the TV program?
Never seen it.
I mean, House's premises, all patients lie, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he teaches his residents every week, all patients lie. So I go through this thing with the resident. We go through the whole thing, and they do these neurological tests and everything like that. He scares the shit out of me a little bit. And then the regular doctor comes in, right, the radiation oncologist, and she has to go through the whole thing again, but this time with a Chinese accent. So so it's much funnier that way, I guess. I don't know. I know, it's probably racist. I'm sorry. Fuck you. Anyhow, I was not going out to anybody in particular.
Nobody.
Hey, stop that. You stop that. Stop that. You're throwing your racist voice there. Anyhow, she was very, very nice. We were making jokes about the whole thing. But at that point is when I realized, you know, the tumor that I have, and this is the last we'll go into the detail, the tumor that I have is a tumor of the lining of the brain. So I had assumed that the lining of the brain means the space that's sort of right underneath your skull, right? Intracranial. Write that down.
Whoa.
And the actual gray matter, you know, the kind of the soft tofu-y stuff that's inside. Oh. There's like a lining that runs through the whole thing. It's,
right.
You know, it's like a moisture barrier. You probably put that up when you're doing drywall. You know, it sort of keeps the hot stuff cotton.
Actually,
stuff
I use
cold.
Cottonelles every day.
Exactly. How do it know? So
that's a moisture barrier for me.
Exactly. What?
Go on.
Okay, sorry.
Cottonelles. It's a moisture that you use to wipe your butt.
Yeah. It was better when I was just talking.
Okay, sorry.
So she goes through this thing, and I say, so one of the questions I have is, well, why aren't they just going to, like, I thought, well, maybe just, like, take a little hole, right? You know, like and just, like, take a little hole and pop the thing out and then just remove whatever tumors on the edge that they missed the last time. It's like, no, this is actually, like, deep in the crevices.
Wow.
Like, you know, where the two parts of your brain come together and then they fall, that fold in the middle of that, that's called the fox, I guess, right down the center there.
Okay.
The tumor is like down in the crevice with the pumice. For those of you who are big Smothers Brothers, you'll know what that joke is all about. For everybody else, not so much. So it's down there.
Wow.
So it's like, well, Jesus, thank God they have this kind of gamma knife thing, because otherwise
they'd have to
go digging, or it'd be, you know, there'd be all kinds of loss. So it's like, holy shit, so on the one hand you go, well, thank God that I'm just a cat toy for the gods because they want to keep me around. And on the other hand, holy fuck.
Holy shit.
At every moment, I'm just another fucking step away from being dead.
Oh my gosh.
Not were funny, they, just
they,
true.
Were they scared when they discovered it?
This tumor's fairly small. The last tumor was fairly large. The last tumor was almost 6 centimeters. That's a big honking tumor. This tumor is a small little tumor. This is a not a big deal. But if it gets bigger, it can be problematic. It can be problematic. And then, of course, they tell you about all the stuff that can happen after they zap it, right? Which is tumor necrosis. And so there's this thing that's in your head now, and it's dead, and it's got evil spirits inside of it, and it begins to haunt your brain. And, you know, at night you come out, and I go, I already do that. So they go, oh, then you got nothing to worry about. So it's fine. You'll be okay. So this is one of those things where the side effects are not the next day. Right, I'll go up on Friday morning, I'll come back on Friday afternoon, and except for the baseball cap feeling I'll have in my head, apparently I'll be a big Mets fan after this is over. But other than that process, there won't be a big deal, but it's like 3 to 6 months down the road is when I could have a stroke and drop dead.
Oh.
Because that's when the tumor sort of, I guess, goes through whatever necrosis it goes through, and that's when, yeah, so something to look forward to. So mark it on your calendars that, you know, that's, yeah, exactly. That's my point.
You know
exactly.
what I was thinking about when you were talking about the two?
No idea.
I'll tell you right now.
Thank you.
The two parts of your brain
yes.
that meet in the middle, and you said it's called the fox?
Fox, yeah.
Fox fold or fold?
Sure.
Okay, that part,
yes.
I was thinking about that part in Star Wars when Darth Vader went into the Death Star.
Yeah.
Remember, and Luke Skywalker went there, and they're chasing each other inside the fold of the Death Star.
Got one. Right. Don't get cocky, kid.
Exactly. Don't get cocky, kid. Right? And then I was thinking, like, there's a tumor inside the Death Star in your brain.
Wow.
And the laser's trying to find it, like, hey, don't get cocky, tumor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Dr. Wookie.
Wait.
It's funnier to watch.
It is pretty funny to watch. Oh, that's so amazing, Robin. So, Friday's the big day.
So, Friday, I have to go in at 5:45 in the morning.
Excuse me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, are you driving me?
No, but that's the best time because the doctors are refreshed. Unless American Idol's the night before.
Yeah, exactly. So, 5:45. So, I've called my buddy Marwan to come pick me up from 101 Limousine Service. We'll give him a free plug there. Won't make any difference. But we'll call Marwan in the morning. Marwan will come pick me up at 4:45.
If Marwan has a twin, would that one be called Mar 2?
D2?
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Here all week. Thank you. Marwan, Mar 2.
And
those are two Chewbaccas making the nasty.
Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That would not be funny to see.
A lot of static electricity. Balloons. I want to rub balloons.
If we ate in bed, it'd just be stuck to us.
So I'm scared. But I'm glad that it was all approved. So eventually what happened was...
With the insurance.
So it was actually still unapproved as of, like, 1 o'clock this afternoon. I went up and did all this pre-stuff today, even not knowing what the deal was. I figured I'm just moving forward with it. And my uncle, the rabbi, wants to get involved, and my sister, the lawyer, wants to get involved, and everybody wants to get involved in this bullshit. And you can't do any... There's nothing you can do. That's the thing about people who have power. They think that they can wield their power in any situation. Like, you have this sword, and so, therefore, you can chop off anyone's head and fix any problem. And some problems are not fixed by chopping people's heads off. Sometimes you need to stroke or unload, as they say. So, not you personally.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's my... Don't know. So, anyhow...
So as of 1 o'clock, we don't
the
know
surgeon,
about insurance.
No, the surgeon got on the phone, apparently, with Blue Shield and effectively, I guess, said to them, you guys got to change this. This is not right.
Oh, good.
First of all, this is we've decided as a review board this needs to be done. And number two, the standards of care that you've submitted are 5 years out of date. I know. I wrote the standards of care because this guy is like a chair and, you know, he's got like an endowed chair. And next year he's getting an endowed little...
Lake?
Yeah, a little cushion thing. What do they call that? Hassock.
Yeah.
Endowed hassock.
Ottoman.
Ottoman, an endowed ottoman. Ottoman.
What's the name of your doctor?
Michael McDermott.
Michael McDermott.
Michael McDermott. He's Canadian, eh?
Hey.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Made him laugh. I think I've made him laugh almost every time that I've spoken with
and
him.
And he's been the doctor of all your brain surgeries?
He's been the
Just
doctor
the last...
of the brain surgeries here in California. My brain surgery doctor from Boston, I think, has long passed away. Hmm. He was older then, and I think he's long gone at this point.
How old is Michael?
He's probably contemporary of mine. I'm guessing he's...
About 50, 55, I'd say.
You think he's older than I am?
I think he is older than you are.
Really?
Yeah, I get a sense of that.
Huh.
He's a race car driver. Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So this guy clearly is, he's all about the action. get in, get out.
Quick decisions.
Yeah, he's really all about
confident.
That. And I knew that when he got on the phone, as you and I had talked about, we knew when we got on the phone,
he'd handle it.
He would brook no shit from anyone. Everyone at the hospital loves him. If you talk to anybody, they say, oh, yeah, who's your doctor? You go, Dr. Mara. Oh, I love him. He's so nice, because he's so nice to the staff. I mean, he knows exactly what to do, but he's got zero tolerance for fuck-ups. Which is exactly what you want in a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
You don't want to go, oops, oh well.
Or a race car driver, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. On the other hand, podcasting, not so much. All right.
So, good story, good story.
So that's what we got going on here. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's hopefully, Friday I'll go in. Friday I'll come back again. Saturday and Sunday I'll have a headache. Monday I think maybe I can start doing a little bit of work again. And then the death watch begins. Good times.
Death Watch 2007.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take our first break because I've been talking way too long today, and I apologize. We'll come back. We'll have Jason on the phone. We'll have Sean on the phone. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
You know what? This is the first year.
Uh-oh.
Can I just say this real quick?
Of course.
It doesn't feel like Valentine's Day to me, and the reason why I just realized this on the drive here is that for the last 12 years, I've worked in a supermarket where you're surrounded by balloons and bears and flowers and champagne.
And people coming in and
people
out.
People coming out
and
in and going through your line. This year, I was surrounded by a bunch of hairy guys and pipe, and nobody had flowers or balloons around them. And it was just
no
another day.
Delivered at
no.
the construction site
no,
for you
No
guys?
Flowers delivered at the construction site.
For Melanie, did you get something?
No, actually, no.
What?
No, she didn't get me anything. I didn't get her. We made a pact. Said, screw it. It's a commercial day. It's like, screw that.
That's not how it works, baby.
No. Hey, believe it or not, we say nice things to each other every day of the year.
I believe it.
What's the difference between a card that says, Rosie Red Vice Blue, I love you. I love you too. Screw that. $350 for who? Some monkey that just wrote it out there in a card out in Milwaukee? Flowers die? No.
You can do her tonight?
No. I got to work tomorrow. I got a lot of homework. Can you imagine?
And you know, when Parviz does things, he does it twice.
That's right.
So there'll be none of that tonight.
No, I don't have time for that.
He's got to go to bed early.
I got to go to bed early.
He's not going
to
do her twice.
No, he's not going to do her once, and he's not going to do her twice.
No, we have big plans for the weekend, though. Yeah.
You're coming up on an anniversary. Wasn't 555 at 05505 on a 55 thing?
No, my anniversary of being a plumber is before that.
We're not talking about being a plumber. When is your wedding anniversary?
May, but I'm talking about being a plumber.
We're not talking about being a plumber. We're talking about your wedding anniversary. May what?
5.
Okay.
There's really no reason to pull any more out of him.
I mean, you said 5555555. Figure it out. It wasn't 95. It wasn't 85. It wasn't 75.
No, I didn't
wasn't
say 65. 5565. I said 555.
Yeah.
55. What time did you get married?
5:05.
Thank you.
How many people were there? 5.
Cinco en español?
It was Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, it was.
All right. We got to take a break. We're playing songs. All the music today are Grammy Award winning songs. Okay. maybe not a great idea, but...
No, it's a great idea.
We're kind of committed at
it's
this
a great
point.
Idea.
We're pretty much committed
this
at this
whole
point.
Show's been a song and dance.
Okay, thanks very much. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Jason. We'll come back with... I wanted to ask you about Valentine's Day, too. When we come back, can we ask about Valentine's
Day? Sure.
All right, good.
You're in red today. Is that why?
I'm wearing red. I'm
Is
wearing
because
red.
Of Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
And I like this shirt.
And Scarlet Fever.
That too.
Oh.
Okay. hold on. We're going to take a break.
She's hot.
Okay. I don't know what that means. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Hey,
love.
Both kings are good to mom.
Blood's thicker than the mud.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Oh, yeah.
She's a woman.
I'm that newlywed just a year ago. But they're still checking each other out. And nobody wants to blow.
Welcome back. We're 38 minutes into the first hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We're on the iTunes Music Store at Schnauzer Logic. We're also at area code 206-666-6540. That's the Schnauzer hotline. Let us push down some buttons here and say welcome back to Parviz Vitalian.
That's Parviz's hotline. Right? That's,
yeah.
That's
the Ask Parviz.
Yeah, that's the Ask Parviz hotline.
Okay. What did I say?
Yeah, this is the Schnauzer Logic hotline.
It's also the Schnauzer Logic hotline.
We share.
I thought like that was for me.
You say that every time, but nobody calls and asks you any questions.
Let them. They'll get around to
that's,
it.
That's a challenge. They'll get around to it.
Yeah, they're busy.
I see.
They're fighting hard weather.
They're busy not having sex with your wife.
Here we go. It's a
twice.
Wow.
Yeah? Exactly.
Wow.
See? That was Sly and the Family Stone with Josh
Groden.
That was an Academy Award nomination. That was a Grammy Award winner.
Actually, I don't know if it was Josh Groden. I made that up.
Oh.
Is it Josh Groden?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Ja.
Yeah. I mean, I think Josh Groden is more of a classical singer.
No, it's not. So you just gave wrong information.
Absolutely.
By the way, we're not editing the show today. Jason's still on the line.
Wait, we're not editing?
No, I'm no editing today. I do not have the time. I do not have the endurance to go through and edit the show. So whatever we record, that is it,
ooh,
baby. So Jason, I'm just giving you fair warning, all the ums. They're in there for good today, so you may just... he's on the line. We'll let you know about that, so... So, Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You have a special Valentine's Day?
I had a great Valentine's Day today.
That's
wonderful.
Nice.
Yep.
Chocolates? Did you get chocolates?
I got chocolates.
Oh, did you get any flowers?
I got flowers.
You did?
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's very nice. Is it a big holiday for you?
No.
Okay. Has it ever been a big holiday for you? When you were married, was it a big holiday for you?
Oh, it was awful when I was married.
Oh, really? Ooh, sorry.
Only because my ex was quite frugal, which was okay.
Cheap.
Jeep. And no holiday was special to him. He always found some way to try to get out of it.
Bastille Day?
Bastille Day was always great for me because that's when he went to France. So,
which is amazing because he wasn't French. But seriously, folks.
But anyway, no, that's...
All right.
It's a good... But today, this was good.
Not a bad one.
Not a bad one.
I love it.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels in
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in.
Why are you smiling like that?
I'm smiling because we're listening so intently to the spaghetti. Like we, I don't think we've ever actually heard it before.
Did you say the spaghetti?
Yeah. We're listening so intently to the beginning.
Okay.
I thought he said spaghetti, too.
Thank you. So did
spaghetti.
I.
Spaghetti. Play back the tape.
Well, not this week. I'm not doing the editing. I'm telling you.
Jason.
Let us say Sona Vista to Jason Nathanson, my friend.
Young schnauzers in love. Happy Valentine's Day.
Jason, I enjoyed the 1 versus 100.
Yeah, dude, we got to talk about that. Big time.
Big time. Big stuff there.
No kidding. Now, when you were on the show last week, you told us that you were in that studio for somewhere between 5 and 6 hours.
Yeah.
The show itself is only a half hour long. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you were only on for like 22 minutes or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
What the fuck happened to the other 4 hours and 40 minutes?
It's all Bob Saget doing stand-up the rest of the time, and they just cut that out, apparently.
Does he do blue material, or it's all clean?
At the show, he's pretty clean. I mean, and I was standing next to a nun, and every time he said something a little off color, he went to the nun.
Were you standing or were you sitting?
Standing.
Oh, you were standing.
Everybody's standing the whole time. It looks like people are sitting, right?
It does. It absolutely looks like you're sitting.
Yeah, but no, you're standing. And there's a little tiny bench thing that hurts your ass that you can sit on if you want. But, I mean, not when the camera's on you. Absolutely not. You have to.
That explains why the tranny who was right above you, a drag queen who was up and to the left, was like so much taller than everybody else.
She's a gender illusionist.
Oh, yeah, she was a drag queen.
Well, that's what she called herself, gender illusionist.
And we would have no idea that she was on the program, except for the fact that you'd written it in the blog, because he did not talk to her on the broadcast at all. You, on the other hand, got mondo fucking screen time.
Yeah, my face was all over the place. They
it
liked
was.
Me for whatever reason. I enthusiastically pumped my hands in the air and clapped over my head as much as possible.
Like you just don't care. Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't care, goddammit.
And somebody said that you look like a young Dr. Evil.
Yes, I have been compared to Mini-Me on several occasions.
No, you look more like Dr. Evil than you do like Mini-Me.
I do. Well, there's one screen capture there that you have in your website.
Uncle
and I have
Fester.
Mine. I have a particularly menacing kind of look,
yep.
An evil grin on my face.
Yeah, and that was when they had the question that you missed, unfortunately, right underneath you there, but you have that look on your eyes because you knew that you knew it.
Yeah, and of all the questions for me to miss, how many states start with the word new? I've been to all of them in the past 6 months.
So New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico.
How many people called you who didn't know that you were going to be on it? Did you get any calls from out of the blue?
I got calls from two different people. One of my friends who was in Dallas, and so actually got to see it 2 hours before I saw it, and said, oh my God, I was just watching 1 versus 100 with my grandmother, and I never watch it, and she happened to be watching it, and you were all over the place. And then I got a call on Saturday night from another friend saying, were you by any chance on 1 versus 100 last night?
So that makes you kind of a star. That's your Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame, don't you think?
I hope I have a little longer, 14 and a half minutes left, that are better than that 15 minutes. I mean, because that was not exactly the most groundbreaking 15 minutes of fame.
So you're at the end of the runway today. We just need to know at the beginning of the interview whether you're in the abandoned warehouse or at the end of the runway. So
I'm at the end of the runway.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine. And let us also say Sona Vista to Sean Meehan, who's on the other side of the hill today, joining us on the phone.
Son of Easter.
How are you, my friend?
I am well.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Thank you very much.
Now, is Valentine's Day a big deal? I know that you are married in a very loving relationship there.
I am. Valentine's is not a huge deal, but I always like to celebrate it in some way. So
by yourself?
That's the best way to celebrate when you're married, my friend. That's the only real way. No, I got Michelle an orchid.
Aww.
She likes orchids. And, you know, I've just kind of, I've made a little cheese tray and a little bit of wine, and she can come home and relax. And
aww. That's so, very nice.
Yeah, nothing extravagant.
Are you taking notes, Jason?
I would love for somebody to make me a cheese tray right now.
Okay, how fast can you get up here?
I don't know what that means. So I remember being single, and Valentine's Day, especially when I was younger, was a lot of pressure. It was an awful lot of pressure. You felt like you needed to have a Valentine, but if you were in a relationship that started right before Valentine's Day, it was a lot of pressure not to overdo it, but you didn't want to underdo it. You send the wrong messages, but you don't want to send no message whatsoever. And I remember having someone break up with me right before Valentine's Day. I actually got broken up on Valentine's Day Eve,
ooh,
era of Valentine's Day. I got broken up with. What's your experience been with that, dear young Jay?
For my generation, I don't think it's that big of a deal anymore. I seriously think we're jaded. We see the Hallmarkness in the corporate culture of the holiday.
Thank you.
And I don't think anybody really cares. None of my friends. I don't feel any pressure or anything like that to have a Valentine. To like, this isn't the night where I feel like I have to have a date or anything like that.
What night is that?
sadly, not too many.
Just so that we can mark it down in my meeting calendar.
It's the Saturday 5 weeks after the Assumption. It's going by the Catholic, by the Julian calendar.
Is that Maundy Thursday? Or,
yeah. Yeah. It's Prophylactic Tuesday, and
the rubber event in the match, so to speak. Oh, sorry about that. So it's big time, big deal for you there in Southern California, my friend. You're all over the TV with now. You actually were fairly telegenic. I mean, no question about it. They kept the camera on you because you have that look.
You know what? And that's been said to me several times, which makes me think I'm untelegenic in person. People, you know,
oh yeah, you
say,
look
surprisingly good.
You did look very menacing, and just you looked evil.
He's very macho.
He
was
macho.
He was very virile. Yeah. The head was kind of just very.
There was no neck. It was just a head and shoulders.
I know, but with the shirt, you had that nice blue shirt
that
on
shirt
there.
That shirt was fabulous.
Fabulous shirt.
Hey, is that show? I've never seen the show except for last Friday.
Sure.
That show is freaking boring. I fast forward through like 17 minutes of when she picked her answer, then would sit there. Well, if you get the answer right, what's the answer?
See, that's one of those Who Wants to Be a Millionaire things that was introduced into game shows. The whole tension,
deal
the
or
music,
no deal,
the lighting to build the tension, I don't particularly care for it. But I really like trivia shows. I mean, that's definitely one of my favorite things.
Are they going to ask you to come back and be part of the mob again?
I hope so. I haven't been called back yet.
Are you trying out for other game shows? Because you know you can make a lot of you can spend a lot of time in LA doing that. I mean, there's plenty of places to be on.
It's a long process, and it's a kind of a pain in the ass. There's a lot of waiting around. You usually have to end up spending, you know, several to 8 hours of your day either trying out, waiting in line, standing around with other people who are actors or trying to be actors. And it's not something I'm going to really pursue hardcore. If it comes up, I'll go for it.
Cast in an independent film. I mean, that's the kind of thing where somebody could go, get me a young Jason Nathanson, and then they get you.
Right.
Hey, you know, I thought Ken Jennings was a pretty funny guy. He's a pretty pretty relaxed, funny guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of experience at this point. After winning on Jeopardy for 2 months, I think he went on.
Yeah.
He's been on a lot of game shows, a lot of talk shows, so he's definitely, for a Mormon, yeah, he's pretty funny.
And the guy who actually won, what was his occupation,
He's a lawyer.
Okay, just a regular guy.
He was an intellectual property lawyer.
Yeah,
it was
we hate those.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on, as they say. So you went to the Grammys.
Yes, I did go to the Grammys.
Give us the 2 minute cheap wrap up there.
A little more of the same award show type stuff. They stick us in a big room. The whole press is there, and they drag through the winners who, for whatever reason, unluckily agreed to go before the press in the back room. There's only about five or six people who actually came through at the end. The Dixie Chicks ended up coming through about an hour after the show was actually over. So everybody had been waiting around for this point, and they only answered three questions. A little anticlimactic there.
You know, do you remember what the three questions were?
No.
Are they hot, Jason? The Dixie Chicks?
Yeah, I go back and forth on Natalie Maines, the lead singer. Sometimes she looks really hot, sometimes she doesn't. With the brown hair, I definitely was into her this time around.
She got that Sarah Jessica Parker thing going on there.
I don't know about that.
Minus a Matthew Broderick.
And the money.
And I didn't get to sneak into any after parties, but I did end up sneaking backstage.
The plane!
And now, there was a lot of security going on. There were snipers on the roof across the street from us.
Are you saying there's more security at the Grammys than there was at either the Golden Globes or the other one?
The Golden Globes so far was the most lax. They didn't even check my bag coming in. And I'm coming in with a laptop and all this radio equipment. They didn't even check
on
my
24,
bag.
You would be one of the terrorists.
I could be. The SAG Awards, they did a security check. We had to go through metal detectors. The Grammy Awards, we had to go through metal detectors.
So they tested your metal? Sorry, I'm gonna have brain surgery. I gotta pass on this.
This is held at the Staples Center, so it's like any kind of auditorium Shark Tank type thing that
dun,
you guys have
dun,
up there.
Dun 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 dun.
And there's the little rows that enter into the main area, and most of those were guarded by Staples ushers, basically.
Okay.
And you couldn't get.
Yeah, we got that.
You couldn't get into most of them.
Usher, that's so sad.
Yeah, we got that.
But the row that led right to backstage wasn't guarded at all. There was nobody there.
Ah.
And I just ended up walking backstage, and during Ludacris's performance, I was in the back. I could have run out on the stage and, took my clothes off and danced around. I could have done anything. I could have pulled a Borat. Anything I wanted to do, I could have done, because I was literally right there with
you could have shouted out my name and made $50. That's what you could have done, baby. There was an opportunity for a little extra folding money, and you blew it.
Damn it, I didn't even think of that. I should have called you.
Jason, what celebrities did you see back there?
So I go backstage, and I walk down into the little area. This is now in the dressing room area where the athletes and stuff would normally hang out. And the first person I run into walking down the stairs is Tony Bennett. And he's sitting there with three other people, and they're just having a casual conversation. And it was very cramped, and I went to walk around them, and I actually got pushed almost into Tony Bennett, and a huge bodyguard stepped right in front of me and pushed me back the other way so I wouldn't disturb Mr. Bennett. And then Ludacris walked by, and Chris Rock walked by and gave Ludacris a big hug, and they were, you got to call me, man, and doing that kind of thing. And
you should have done the same thing.
I should have. I really should
have. Like, in and out. Just
I should have. Ludacris, I love your comedy, man.
Yeah,
you're dope.
You got to call me, man, and then just walk away. That's the thing. You got to walk the fuck away after you do that.
Yeah.
Just leave him standing there looking all ludicrous and shit.
And then Justin Timberlake walked right by me. He was going up to perform next, I think. And the one person I was most conflicted about was David Spade was walking with me, basically, for about 20 feet or so.
Allie Waller, we got a connection to this guy.
And I was about to, but so many people were pulling aside for autographs and pictures, and I didn't want to be that guy.
John DeColvin went up to fucking Bobby Slayton, and he got us Bobby Slayton for the show in a couple of weeks. I mean, and John had no connection whatsoever to Bobby Slayton. John had bad information, and he still got us the interview. What's your excuse?
I see all these people trying to be hangers-on in this area, and
but that's not what you're trying to do. You're not trying to be a hanger-on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I don't want to be some. I don't want to be somebody who's annoying to these people. And at the same
too late.
Time, at the same time, I want to try to get them on, the various different things that I work for. So,
yeah, like your own show.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. We'll talk about that. All right.
So I was backstage for about 15 minutes or so, just walking around. Nobody bothering me. And I was wearing a tux, and I think that's why I was able to, because nobody else was wearing a tux. I was the absolute only one.
So you looked like the maitre d' of the Grammys.
That's exactly what somebody said to me. He's like, you know why you got back? Because you looked like a waiter.
You look like, he's like, can I take your order, Ludacris? Excuse me, sir, would you like a drink from the bar?
Everybody else is wearing whatever, because the Grammys are known for outrageous and eclectic fashion. So everybody's wearing whatever the hell they want to wear. And I'm wearing, just a simple black tux with a black
tie. Did you see the Chili Peppers?
I did see the Chili Peppers, yes.
Oh, cool. All four or just...
I think I saw Anthony Kiedis and Flea coming out of their dressing room.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And what if he'd only seen three? Would that have been less interesting to you? I'm trying to understand the whole point of this. Not that I love the question, by the way. Just
did you see the police?
I did not see the police.
Did you see all three of them?
I saw the uniformed guard, not the band.
How about Shakira?
Roxanne.
I saw her when she performed. I didn't see her in
person. Is she hot?
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, the way she dances and shakes her hips.
Does Tony Bennett have a wig on?
You know, my dad asked me that.
Mr. Benedetto to you.
I didn't notice. I wasn't noticing the hair quality of Tony Bennett, no.
Yeah. Sean, I like your drunk commentary.
The least I could do is load up before I come on the show.
He's full of wine and cheese. Don't bother the man.
You got another 25 or 30 unconnected questions there?
No.
You got any?
No, I find it fascinating. First of all, Jason.
Obviously.
Jason, I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating.
I was waiting for that.
I know.
I've been holding my breath.
I find
for the
it
last
fascinating that Jason is backstage at the Grammys, at the Oscars, at the Golden Globes. It's like.
It's what you want to do.
No, it's not what I want to do. I care less about doing that. But it's interesting because...
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think he just called you out, dude.
No, but it's interesting that we have the inside scoop from Uncle Fester.
That's what makes this a show.
It's great, Jason.
Hold on. I have to land at 7:47.
All right. While you're doing that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about upcoming events and also your new project.
Yes.
All right. So
we have to say that Norbit was number one in the movies. Is that amazing? $33 million. Norbit.
We don't have to say that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that exact same thing.
Yeah. Thank you. That it's amazing?
No.
No, we don't have to say that.
Oh, no. So no thank you to you.
No, this is not 100. This is not
thank
one
you,
versus
Sean.
100. This is just 4 versus 100. Or 4 versus 1. 1 versus... Fuck. I need brain surgery.
But I can't say Norbit will probably be nominated for a 2007 Razzie Award.
I did hear, and you guys may have heard this as well, that there is now some buzz that Eddie Murphy may not get the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor because Norbit is such a piece of crap, regardless of how much it made at the box office. The critical reviews are so uniformly awful for this.
Wow.
That the feeling is that it would be smirched, the Academy, to give him an award because, although he has this great performance in Dreamgirls,
yeah.
this is just pure unadulterated shit.
But well, I think
too
at
late.
This point, the votes might already
yeah.
be in. So I think it's too late.
You can't recall them?
Norbit is
it's not like
Sybil.
The iTunes music store, Robin.
What'd you say, Sean?
I said Norbit is his Sybil. It's his three faces of Eve.
Oh, I thought you meant Sybil Shepherd. I guess.
Yeah, it's his tour de force. I can't possibly imagine that the Academy would look harshly upon Norbit. It's genius.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll play,
he's definitely drunk.
We'll play a little bit of Mr. Tony Bennett doing a duet with
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
And in this recording, as I understand it, in this recording, Stevie Wonder is
cited.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
Screw that up!
What a surprise. If you're surprised that he screwed that up, raise your hand. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back
actually,
on the
other side. When he recorded this with Stevie Wonder, really quick.
All right, we'll be back on the other side. That's when the music is playing down where you guys just hang in there.
I'm going to say
all right. Well, your mic will never be on again. Stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me, and somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew someone warm like you who could make my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before.
For once, I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
For once,
say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I am love, I can make it. Once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
For once in my life, once in my life, I have someone, someone, I have someone.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're just about at the top of the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney, the Masters of EMC Planning? I don't think I finished it, didn't I?
No, you did not.
Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a Masters of EMC Planning. Why are you rolling your eyes at me, dude?
I never rolled your eyes at you.
Just now. You rolled your eyes.
No, I did not.
Are you saying that I'm having hallucinations?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, can you explain this photograph?
That's a picture of Tony.
It's not actually a photograph.
It's a picture of Tony Bennett and Stevie Wonder singing in the studio.
Are we going to scan this and put it on the website?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. There's nothing bad about it.
And police plus V.H.
That was what I was going to talk about.
Oh, it was.
V.H. is Van Halen.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was like Parvis loves the police. Sitting in the tree.
Oh, that's cute.
All right, let's say Son of Easton, welcome back to Sean Meehan.
Son of Easton.
And welcome back to Jason Nathanson.
Son of Easton.
All right, so what's coming up on the big award the scene next for you, my friend?
Well, I mean, the big show is going to be the Oscars on Sunday, February 25th.
Yes.
But the even bigger show is going to be the Razzies the night before.
Now, what are the Razzies for people who have not heard of it?
Razzies are the worst films of the year. They give out awards for, let me see, I have it here. Worst picture, worst actor, worst actress, worst director, so forth and so on.
Worst prequel, worst remake or ripoff.
Yeah.
Worst screen couple. Worst excuse for family entertainment. So they have some good categories.
Do celebrities actually show up at these things?
Sometimes. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if they do or not. I mean, it is awards season. It is the Oscars. People have better things to do with the Saturday before than go to...
Not Rob Schneider.
That's true. I might see Rob Schneider.
You could very well see Rob Schneider. So worst actor is Rob Schneider for both the Benchwarmers and Little Man.
Benchwarmers is actually pretty funny.
Marlon Wayans and Sean Wayans for Little Man. Larry the Cable Guy for Larry the Cable Guy. Nicolas Cage for The Wicker Man. And Tim Allen for Santa Claus 3, The Shaggy Dog, and Zoom. So he's a triple threat right there.
See, and I feel the worst for Larry the Cable Guy because he's basically nominated for playing himself. So not the worst actor, he's just the worst person.
Oh, God. So when we talked the other night, there's a possibility that you might actually be the man behind the microphone instead of the man behind the mixing board.
That's how it's shaping up to be
so
right now.
How does that feel?
I will be the correspondent broadcasting live from the Razzies.
So you'd be this is Jason Nathanson reporting from the Razzies, blah, blah, blah radio?
Exactly.
And
that's how I'm going to say it, too. Blah, blah, blah radio is my sign up.
Okay. Cool. Will you ask them how Robin Goldstein has affected their career?
I might do that. This actually could be the opportunity that I have to drop your name in.
Exactly. Because who would know?
Who would know?
Who would
who's
know?
Who's listening? It's the Razzies on a Saturday night.
Exactly. So are you excited about doing this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First of all, it would be the first time I'm actually back on the air on a major radio station in a while. I did a segment on KFI when I was producing there, and that was fun. But this is a different kind of step. It's more news reporting, although this is a very tongue-in-cheek event, and we can have a lot of fun with it. It's more where I want to go with my career as far as being, I don't know, journalism-type endeavor.
Now, the Oscars are coming up, as you say, and
yeah.
Last weekend were the BAFTA Awards, which is the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. Did you have a chance to see those?
I read a little bit about what won and stuff.
So they can frequently be kind of an interesting insight into what's going on with folks who have to vote within the Academy of Arts. For film, The Queen won.
Right.
Beating out Babel and The Departed. Now, what's your sense about that here in the United States? You think that'll have... Obviously, in England, it's not as surprising that The Queen won.
Yeah, and I think that that was probably pretty much a lock. I'm really torn between Babel and The Departed. I don't think The Departed should win. I think Babel will win probably because of its sprawling epicness. And I thought it was a very good movie, but I don't know if it deserves to be the best movie. I have The Queen, and I'm going to watch it in the next week, so I'll be able to give a more informed opinion on that. But, I mean, there's a lot of buzz. They say it's a great movie. The subject matter doesn't really interest me.
It's actually a really interesting film. I recommend seeing it.
A great movie, you know, can trump that, so I'm definitely interested.
Your buddy, Forrest Whitaker, won...
my buddy, my pal, Forrest Whitaker.
Well, he won for The Last King of... Well, see, now that you have the photograph that you took of him with your little Instamatic on your website, I assume that you know Forrest Whitaker. He hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend here. He's been on Letterman. He's been on Leno. He's all over the place.
And he gave a shout-out to me on each one of those shows.
Yes, he did. So that was very exciting.
Yes.
It certainly feels to me like he's a lock to take Best Actor.
Yeah, he's won every major award so far that there is.
It'd be a surprise. Obviously, DiCaprio's got two films up this year, so that kind of splits the vote in many ways, but... that certainly seems to be the way that things are going. Alan Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine. Now, there's a surprise that he's been taking that award away from Jack Nicholson, who I assumed would be the favorite.
You would assume he would be the favorite. I mean, Nicholson, they like to give it to somebody who hasn't really won a lot but has done a lot of good films and has been a great character actor throughout their life. I think Arkin is more of that. And I think Nicholson has so many nods, and I think he's won a couple of awards for, you know, best actor, not supporting. I think they don't want to overshadow some of the smaller character actors like Arkin.
And he creeps people out, too.
Well, that, too.
And best actress in a supporting role, once again, Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls. So she seems to be a lock for that as well.
She's, probably, and it would be a surprise if she didn't win.
It would be a surprise. And I don't completely understand it because it's an ensemble cast. And so the fact that she gets called out for that, is it because... Now, here's a theory that I have. She's nominated because she's overweight, and people don't usually assume that overweight people will be talented in the movies. I'm not being funny. You guys, the people in the studio are looking at me like, what's she talking about?
I think she's hot.
Do you?
I think she's freaking hot.
But she's
hot.
She's not Hollywood's image of kind of, you know, heroin chic.
No, but she's a strong woman. She seems to me like somebody that can carry her own. I mean, she doesn't seem like...
And yours, too.
I think
there's no editing today, my friend. We're fucked.
Wow.
We're fucked here, baby. We're fucked. There will be no editing.
No, she's a very pretty woman, and she doesn't seem like...
Yes.
She's 25 or 26, but she carries herself like she's been around forever.
I'm not saying she's not pretty.
I think her story is what people like a lot more because she's the most surprising of the nominees. She hasn't been an actress before. She didn't win on American Idol, but she's overcome what some people thought might have been a lack of talent to really showcase herself and shine. And I think they're rewarding that you know what, this young woman is really good at what she does, and we want to kind of, you know, give her an award because of that. And I think also, you know, you have a point there. When heavier people do well in an acting role, it surprises people, and they get a lot of acclaim for it. Like Kathy Bates, for instance. She got a whole lot of acclaim because she was a really good actress, but she wasn't pretty, and people might have been surprised by that. I don't know.
Jessica Tandy?
What?
In Driving Miss...
You could have picked a skinnier person.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides, there are no photographs of Jessica Tandy when she was young. There was.
Sean, there's a photo of Jessica Tandy when she was like 88.
Right.
Exactly.
There she was freaking hot.
That was when they got her out of Tut's tomb.
That's right.
That's when Howard Carter discovered Jessica Tandy.
She started to lose it around 170.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but, you know, basically she had Hume Cronin there to make her look young. But, I, you know, people out there need to remember, too, my terrifying tale from, you know, Schnauzer Logic episode number 30 or something, about who these Academy voters often are.
Masturbating monkeys?
Oh.
No, that was episode 43. He keeps changing his story.
So they don't like...
Are you doing a character?
Were
I supposed to play some kind of sound effect? Wait, what the hell's going on here?
They're extremely old and extremely conservative. So throw that in there. You know, make sure that that's part of your mix. The average Academy voter is not really a participant in film anymore.
It's the Queen and Helen Mirren winning everything then.
Kind of. You know, I think that there are certain films... I was very surprised, although I called it. I was still nonetheless surprised that, say, Crash got it last year.
Yeah.
Because it seemed a little edgy for the Academy.
You called it. Yeah, you called it.
I did. Go back to episode number 12.
Yeah, you called it.
It was episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who won the Carl Foreman Award? I have no idea what that's stupid British awards. They're not even real awards. They're driving the wrong side of the street. They have money with pictures of animals on it. It's different. Actually, I'm thinking of Ireland. But
I always throw it in the calculation, though, that a lot of people voting in the Academy are no longer really participating in any important way in the films that are being made by Hollywood.
Or society, for that matter.
Or society. That's right. This is the real bridge club kind of crowd.
No editing, huh?
much different show.
Wow.
It's a much different show that way. And if you think it's bad this week, next week after the brain surgery,
we'll be editing the show. So it's going to be an exciting collage of sound.
Exactly. All right. So listen, we just have a couple minutes left because we ran long because I basically bored the crap out of the audience with my own tales of woe today, Jason.
Well, good. So you drove them away before my segment.
With any luck. So you, my friend, are one of the idiots.
Yes. TheIdiotsRadio.com, a new podcast me and two of my friends.
Sam Batesh.
And Crystal Fernandez.
Now, is Sam and Crystal an item?
Yes, they are dating.
Oh, you can tell.
Can you?
Absolutely.
Is it the bickering, or because there's
she's
not a whole lot of love?
She's too cute to hang around with you and Sam if she wasn't dating one of you.
Is she hot?
She's extremely hot.
Right on. What does she look like?
She is...
A young Jessica Tandy. Callback and scene.
She's with... But tell me, she's with Sam because it makes her look hotter.
Yes, absolutely, because Sam's a very good-looking person.
Any feedback, any feedback on the show so far? How many, downloads?
My mom said there was too much potty talk.
Okay.
That's about it.
Not for me, though. I can guarantee it's not for me, because I've changed my image.
So I listened to the whole show.
Yes.
You want my notes?
Sure.
All right. So I realize that this is the first time that you guys have been together in a long time, and you're not trying to do Schnauzer Logic. So
right.
So in terms of formatics, you know, structure and things like that, I don't have a lot of comments to make. First of all, there's too much Sam and not enough you and Crystal.
Okay.
And I understand that the person who sort of drives the show tends to lead the conversation, but one of the things you have to do is you have to learn how to back the fuck off and invite other people into the conversation. I heard more of you on this show. And I don't want you here. No, I mean, I think that's something you need to work out, right? Because otherwise it's a little too one-sided.
Sure.
I understand that it's kind of hip and very deconstructionist not to announce the show, like not have liners at the beginning and the ending or whatever it is. Just kind of like, you know, we now join this conversation already in progress, but you never really told us who you were or that the show was going to be over. The show just ended.
That was actually a problem with editing.
My excuse.
There's a whole segment missing.
Okay, well, the show didn't feel too short. That's not what I'm saying. It didn't feel like there was a segment missing. But I think that it's okay to acknowledge that it's the beginning of the show. And then, you know, during the breaks or whatever it is. So I just, it felt like that some thematics would be helpful to allow the listener to know where they are, because people listen to podcasts differently than listen to radio. And so they'll hang out through the entire thing. So it's helpful to kind of give them a sense of how much longer they have to endure the broadcast.
Right.
That's why I give them time during the show. Because
gotcha.
if this was like, you know, 24, you know how much longer it is before Jack is going to kill the guy. So this is the jink-junk. Not racist.
That was very racist.
Yeah, not racist.
Not racist or not.
That was not racist.
That sounds like a number four.
Racist or timepiece. You make the call. And the final thought that I had was not that it was too potty mouth, but that I thought that talking about the astronaut with diapers for an hour and 47 minutes, I thought you kind of mined that.
But we threw in other stories of our lives and things like that. I mean, it wasn't all astronaut.
Yeah, but you kept coming back to the astronaut. You didn't lead me anywhere. Like, at the end of the story, I felt like I was right back in the same pile of poop that I started in. And that's okay. And I think that if you're going to do, like 3 20-minute shows a week, that works really well. But considering the length of the breaks and whatever, it felt... this is criticism. I mean, that's the whole point of it. So, but I thought you guys sounded good together. And you all sounded pro. I mean, so there's a tremendous amount of potential there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. So I really dug that big time. So you're going to try to do that once a week?
Probably twice a month right now.
Oh, okay. So that would be very nice. And where can people listen to that?
They could go to theidiotsradio.com.
All right.
Also, a link on randomshow.blogspot.com.
Okay, cool. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
When does it air? When does it play?
Well, it's a podcast. It's there now.
Parviz.
Do you understand how this works?
Sorry. Just...
7 to 10 on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just give him a time.
All right. Guess what? I just woke up, but besides that, I don't really want to hear any kind of hurtful words towards me.
Oh, okay. I'm
Please?
Sorry.
It's Valentine's Day.
I know. I love you.
I want a world full of marshmallows.
In my pants. I don't even know what that means. Why did you say that?
What do you mean you don't know what it means? It means I want fluffiness.
Okay.
He wants the world soft and tasty.
I have a visual of marshmallows in Robin's pants.
You
now.
Understand? No editing. You understand? Oh God! Oh, that's what? Oh, please! Are there little mini marshmallows that you put in hot cocoa, or are
no,
they the big Stay Puft?
There was
a funny episode.
Okay, we gotta go. All right. Well, you somehow,
no,
even though
no.
you don't see the screen, somehow when there's 32 seconds left, boom, you're all wound up. All right, dude. And tomorrow, KSCO?
Tomorrow, KSCO.
All right. Thank you, my friend. We love you, and we'll talk with you next week right after the brain surgery.
Sounds good.
All right. Take
good
care. Bye bye. All right. Bye
bye.
Bye. Jason's getting brain surgery?
We'll take a break. We'll play some tonnage. We'll come back with Ken Jareski listening to Schnauzer Logic.
Nice.
Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali, all inviting you. Please stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I look out my snow-covered window, airline tickets in hand. My heart is already down there, kicking up tropical sand.
I'll be dancing barefoot on the beaches, down where the weather is nice. Sunshine and tropical breezes as I polka in paradise. I hear the voice of the ocean calling me to the sun. Palm trees are all in motion, and the girls just wanna have fun. I'll be dancing barefoot on the beaches, down where the weather is nice. Sunshine and tropical breezes as I polka in paradise.
change of location. I'm tired of looking at snow. I sure could use a vacation, and I know just the place to go. I'll be dancing barefoot on the beaches, down where the weather is nice. Sunshine and tropical breezes as I polka in paradise. I'll be dancing barefoot on the beaches, down where the weather is nice. Sunshine and tropical breezes as I polka in paradise. As I polka in paradise.
Uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 22 minutes into Schnauzer Logic. I just been presented with a chocolate bar here. Let me punch down some microphones here. Sherry just came in with a chocolate bar. A milk chocolate mocha with hints of Arabica coffee. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. That's
what did you nice. Get?
I got Choco Love.
Aww.
Yeah.
You would have gotten Choco Love if they had Choco Love and milk chocolate, because I know you love milk chocolate.
I do love the milk chocolate. I like the dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm a racist, but I like the... it wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't.
I'm not.
The Schnauzer Logic's never funny.
Okay. You want to open that up now?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to save it.
What are you opening?
Your food.
What, kibbles and bits? What the fuck do you mean, your food? From Nabisco. All right, we are back here, and I thought to myself, this is a sort of Valentine's Day. This is such a weird time. Because of my life, he's been fucked up around Valentine's Day so many times. My first brain surgery, I came home on Valentine's Day from the hospital 22 years ago, from this being in the hospital for 3 weeks kind of thing. And I remember that the person I was dating at that time was in such denial about the horribleness that I had gone through that the only thing she could... First of all, I had to take a cab home. I think I've shared this with people before. I took a cab home from the hospital because nobody would drive me home. Everybody had already left at that point. They were like, hey, you get home yourself at this point. Like, that's part of your recovery is figuring out how the fuck to get home from the hospital after being in the hospital for 3 weeks. But the one thing is that the person that I was dating at that point was angry that I had not remembered Valentine's Day. There was such denial about what was going on that the fact that I hadn't come up with chocolate and flowers, I said, you know, but I gave part of my brain for our love, and that didn't go anywhere then either, as a matter of fact, and not very interesting now. Okay, and then I had people break up with me on Valentine's Day.
That's just amazing. It's unbelievable. What's the difference between, you know, that day and waiting two more days until after?
Because you don't want to spend the money that day, so you break up.
So you know what I did? In order to, I was so heartbroken that somebody had broken up with me, that I was sitting at home that night. This was the night before Valentine's Day. I was sitting at home watching TV. I was living in Boston at the time, same location, and it might have been the same person, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, who broke up with me. I think there's actually a connection in this story here, which means I hope she doesn't hear the show. But anyhow, and so I saw that at like 11 o'clock at night, they were talking about how there was a flower wholesaler up in Needham, Massachusetts, who was going to be open until like whenever, and they were just going to sell flowers at wholesale prices. And so I drove up from Lincoln to Needham, Massachusetts. You know, it was about an hour, whatever the hell it was, at like 11 o'clock at night, to the flower wholesale warehouse that was still open. And I think I bought 10 or 12 dozen roses.
Oh my God.
And I went into work the next day, and I gave roses to every woman that worked at the Digital Equipment Corporation law department. Like, every woman got at least one rose. I mean, I put roses on everyone's desk, and still nobody slept with me. But no, but I
except the mailman.
I got elected to be mayor of the law department, so it all works out to be a good thing. Anyhow, the point of the story is long gone. But what I realized was we needed something to uplift us, someone who looks on the bright side of life, who always has something that they can bring to the conversation that makes you understand that there is more to life than the plain and the ordinary. That there's a spark of wonder and humanity humanity in all of us, and I couldn't get that person, but I did get Ken Turetsky. So on the line with us right now is our good friend Ken Turetsky. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Happy Valentine's Day. Does Sean get to talk or just me?
Yes, both of you guys should be on the phone.
All right, feel free to chime in there, Sean.
All right.
So, you know, it's not an unusual Valentine's Day for me. I'm alone. But, you know, I got my friends here on the phone, so...
We're also alone, Ken.
One of you's going for brain surgery, and you know, I don't even know if you're going to remember me when you come out.
The one thing that I won't be able to forget.
I find it very depressing, yeah.
I'll be wandering around in sort of a hospital gown going, Ken Turetsky, and that'll be like a bad Law and Order. It'll be the only clue.
If you remember me, then you'll know it was a success, right?
Exactly.
Is this going to be like Memento? What are you going to tattoo on yourself?
Her shit don't stink, obviously.
Oh.
All I have is Ken Turetsky's website.
Well, that is the love song that... every ironic lover is listening to today. So
you know. this big time of year for your stuff, a lot of airplay for the Ken Turetsky sound book?
I would hope so. I don't know why I don't have a booking for tonight. I can still book out, though, to the open mic at the Wynedale if I want. Her Shit Don't Sink has been banned there.
Is that right?
Yeah, so...
How does that happen? How does a song get banned at a live venue? Does that, like, in the middle of the song, do they ban it, or is this retroactively?
Well, the owner of the place is this cigarette-smoking matron. She sits there at the end of the bar and never says anything. And just one day, like, after 2 years of playing my hit, you know, not because I wanted to, but because the drunks at the bar demanded it, the word came down. Lotus is, don't play that shit song anymore. What could I do?
You didn't need any more clarification than that?
No, none is provided.
Came all the way down for Tipper Gore.
Tipper Gore, that's right. Tipper Gore is down there. She's taking names and getting ready for the congressional hearing.
That's right.
Oh, her man lost. Too bad.
Now, being a musician, do you find that has helped you in romance in your life and wooing the fairer sex?
Well, actually, you know, it just means I'm going to continue to be alone. But I turn these situations into a positive. You know, I have generous feelings for all the women who tore out my heart. You know, because they gave me all these beautiful songs.
Ah.
They gave me all these beautiful songs.
In my pants.
Where's the drummer when I...
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Yeah, we'll add it in post, don't worry. Don't tell them we're not editing the show today. In post. In
no,
post.
They're hardly considered... I consider them romantic, but women usually don't, even though I pick a woman out every time and I say, I'm singing to you, sweetheart.
This was a more successful technique for John Davidson.
If I could be smooth, like who? Which one of you told the John Davidson story? Was it Robin?
I did.
No, it was
Sean. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I read a story about him when he turned 50. You know, he was not known as a deep and introspective man, but he said, so long, Las Vegas. I'm taking my family, I'm putting them in a boat, and I'm sailing away. And I don't know that he was ever heard from again. It's true. He said, I need to go away. I read that.
If only Geraldo would do that.
Dirk Benedict.
Well, when Geraldo got into the cave, I wish they'd filled it in. You know?
So do you lament the fact that you are sans significant other company at this time of year, or have you found solace in your own company?
Well, if my girlfriend was still here, I could have more sex with her, but...
Okay, maybe.
But you can still have some, even with her distant.
Exactly. You know, in this way, I get complete artistic control.
That's right.
And I'm a creative type.
And you get to keep the residuals.
Yeah.
Now we need the drummer. You can have
I won't
that.
Give up my publishing.
You can have that one.
And, you know, it's always a conflict with me. You know, half of me just wants to do it, and the other half just wants to go to sleep, so... Even masturbation becomes non-consensual sex.
Have you ever written a song about your masturbation?
No, oh, Parviz is there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh. No, but I should, damn it.
What? Did I wake you up or did...
Believe me, Ken, it's a surprise to us, too.
Parviz is taking so much criticism that I think he's afraid to speak up.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. I do take a lot of criticism, and I'm a very, very likable person.
You wear it well, though.
Well, Robin's being tough on you because she wants to make something out of you.
Like yes. What?
Oh, maybe you'll host your own podcast.
Yeah.
I will host my own podcast. I do it actually every Wednesday. I have Robin as a guest and Sherry comes by and Sean's on the phone.
Same fine stations.
You do a wonderful job.
Thank you, Ken.
Now, when you sent me an email recently, you've been very kind at giving us some props over at your own website, kendresky.com. You had mentioned that you were possibly going to be performing in New York coming up this summer as part of the Red Peters traveling show. Is that?
Well, that's distant, you know.
Okay.
Red picked her shit don't stink, even with all the controversy that
yeah.
I claimed myself, just so I could maybe get a few site visitors. he still picked her shit don't stink to put on the first Red Peters show compilation, which is supposed to be coming out on Oleo Records.
That's a big
right
fucking
on.
Deal, dude.
Thank you.
That's Jackie's label, isn't it?
It is.
That's
yeah.
Jackie Martin's.
I mean, I had to
label.
Look them up. They've got an Andy Dick album coming out.
Well, there you
and
go.
They've got Jackie Martling and they've got and George Lopez.
Okay.
So they got some real names.
Yeah, and then there's me.
As opposed to the
me and Red names. Peters.
They got some real ethnic names. That's what you're
okay,
talking.
So Red is talking to Howard Stern's cable channel, the guy who directs Howard Stern.
Oh, sure,
Demand.
The Howard TV.
Yes.
Howard
oh, okay,
demand.
Howard TV. I guess yeah. People buy the program, right?
Yeah, it's like Howard. It's on demand. We have it on the Comcast here in the Silicon Valley as well.
Have you partaken
nope.
of any of the offerings?
Not so far.
What do they charge, like 99 cents a show or something?
I don't know. They have freebies available for you so that you can get those sort of little sample kind of things on the INHD, and I'm not sure what it is. You know, for me, Howard is an audible experience. It's not really a visual experience.
Well,
not a good one anyway.
It is radio. I think the New York Times did a story today saying,
oh.
"Is it still radio when it's on television?" So look that up.
Okay.
Anyway,
we'll link
and
to that.
Was that Sherry? You don't like Howard Stern?
I'd rather listen to him than look at him.
Oh, okay. But you're a fan.
Yeah.
I think we're all fans.
That makes okay.
Yeah. I think we're all fans. So
oh, anyway, so
Oleo Records.
Yeah, and Red said he was talking to Doug Goodstein, the director, asked him for a special and got a positive response, but of course that doesn't mean it's going to
sure.
happen. I think there's a good chance it would happen.
Wow.
And it would be done at a club in New York somewhere.
Let's go.
That's very cool. Oh, yeah, we're definitely there. So this
all
is
right, come
this
on
is,
down.
This is we national will. Exposure. I mean, this is a real deal for you.
It is in-demand cable television.
Okay,
but
so
sure, if the cameras are pointing at you and it's
okay,
and 6 million Howard Stern fans have the option of.
I understand it's not our podcast. Nevertheless, it's still a big deal.
Not quite a podcast.
But I mean, you've had success before in other venues. You know, we know you as a talented singer and songwriter. But we've talked a little bit about this around the edges before. You come from the world of writing and being a journalist, and so you've been on that stage before. Do you sort of feel that you by giving that up and pursuing something which is more, I guess, more interesting to you, more creative to you, that this comes some kind of backsliding?
No, I think it's my turn. I mean, I chase all these athletes around, these boring athletes. You know, how many does the world need another Michael Jordan story? You know, there's 25 people
is
crowded around. I'm sorry?
Is there one?
Is there one? Well,
don't
no, really.
Me, Ken.
I keep interrupting, guys. What was that?
I said, don't tease me, Ken.
I think Sean's masturbating right now.
I wish I was there to slap you all silly.
I wish I had a bigger grate.
No, we would gather like six deep around Shaq. And you know how Shaq talks? He just does that to screw with you, you know, because he knows nobody can hear him. What's that, Shaq? and that's tomorrow's story, you know. And a lot of those athletes are really good guys, but mostly I wanted to write about the ones that were ignored. And there's no market for that stuff. So, you know, I'll promote myself now.
So do you think
I deserve a little love?
You definitely deserve a lot more than a little love. Do you ever think about going back to that? Because that's always the challenge with people that have well-developed careers. I know that as an attorney, one of the things people always say to me is, well, you have that to fall back upon. But the challenge, of course, is it also acts as an anchor. It kind of keeps you in this space of safety. And you've been honest with us along the way and explained that you've kind of given up some of that financial safety to pursue this dream of music.
That's true, but newspapers don't provide any sort of financial safety, of course, because we never got paid anything to begin with. And I miss the newspaper business. I don't miss a lot of that crazy sports stuff. But, of course, newspapers are not newspapers anymore.
That is true.
What am I saying?
I'm saying,
you know, this is a real, just an ego pursuit of my own, and if it doesn't work out, that's too bad. And maybe it's not what I'm best at. That's what I'm really afraid of, you know. Maybe I shouldn't have started this.
But, I think you're damn good at it.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Quite frankly, I mean, you're damn good at it. I was curious, you know, when you said that the newspaper business really isn't even the newspaper business at this point, someone from the New York Times, some bigwig last week, said something like they weren't even sure that they would be publishing a physical New York Times in just a few years.
That's right. And maybe they don't even deserve to, you know, with, you know, they're very good at repeating propaganda. And I just don't understand that. They're the New York Times. But
particularly this time around.
They have to learn to make it in the new world.
But there are people who have decided to sort of go off the grid in the world of journalism, and obviously that's had in the world of politics, it's had a very big impact. The blogosphere, if you will, has had, I think, an indisputable effect on American politics at this point. Have you thought about sort of, you know, having you know, the Turetsky letter or the Turetsky post or something of that nature, where
Turetsky
you
syndrome.
The Turetsky syndrome, exactly.
I put all that writing into my music blog, and I try not to just make it self-promotional stuff. I write about other musicians.
Sure.
I write about issues. And
but I mean, is there things that happen? No, it's okay. But I mean, are the things that happen in the world of politics, the things that happen in the world of sports, that get you all riled up, and your music doesn't soothe that beast?
You're right. So what do? Start a political blog? Do we need another political blog?
I was thinking you could become the next Mark Russell.
Oh wow.
I was cold. I'm sorry, dude.
The world really—is he still out there?
I have no idea.
Doing another.
I think he's touring.
The Simpsons took care of him.
He's touring with John Davidson, I think.
Yes, that would be better. I'll be the next John Davidson. Creepy blonde Gentile.
The market abhors a vacuum, my friend.
The market of whores, what?
A vacuum.
Oh, okay.
John Davidson, just, you know. That's a niche that needs to be filled.
Do we know if Fran Tarkenton is dead?
He's doing just fine. What are you talking about?
Okay, that's what you get, one a week. John Candy was last week. Fran Tarkenton is this week. That's it.
All right, he's still alive though.
Molly Ivins, unfortunately, is dead.
On the big scoreboard, you're 1-1.
Did you?
Did you?
Uh-huh.
And what was your sense of her real impact? Not just sort of the PR impact.
Her real impact as a journalist.
Yeah.
Well, she was lucky George Bush got into office, you know. She was very talented, but that really propelled her. And she provided a voice of reason. She really did. And I just wonder what she was thinking. You know, my work is not done yet. I can't go.
Do you think that is an element of sort of what we consider to be great journalists? I mean, would Woodward and Bernstein be Woodward and Bernstein if it had not been for the Watergate break-in?
No, of course not.
I mean, would there be another story, do you think? I mean, is something that's sort of unique about them, or is it really right place, right time?
Yes, they saw the story, and they went for it and wouldn't let go. And they had a boss. Unfortunately, there aren't many bosses,
Bradley,
who wouldn't just yank the story out from under them these days out of fear.
Yeah.
The real journalists, most of the real journalists, are independent citizen journalists. I just think we have to recognize that everybody can be a journalist. So If you uncover news, the government shouldn't be entitled to throw you into jail until you turn over your sources. You know, like this one 24-year-old dude who's in jail in
with the video.
Federal prison in San Francisco because he videotaped a protest.
Yeah.
And he's been in jail for 6 months.
It is outrageous.
Yeah.
It is outrageous. And those are stories that get no coverage in the mainstream media. They get no coverage on CNN. They don't even get coverage on Olbermann or on Hardball or any of those shows. They're completely outside the scope, and it's left to the Chronicle to really report about that at all.
Well, you know, if they sent Bob Saget in and said that you could get $10,000 for that, I bet he'd cough that baby up. The feds have to get cleverer. That's all I'm saying.
World's funniest protest video.
Or if he filmed the video wearing a diaper, that would do it, too.
He needed to hit himself in the nuts.
Hey, yeah, we know that cop just got hit in the head. But look at that cute little kitty rolling around with the puppy dog over there.
And those goofy sound effects. Like, whoop! Ken, well, we love you so very much. We know that you're not a big man on making New Year's resolutions. We refuse to do that at the beginning of the year. We obviously
so why bring it up?
We respect that, but
I do have a goal that, you know, I'm going to get my own lesbians this year.
Really?
That's my goal. Not just the porn lesbians. I'm going to get lesbians that say, we're lesbians, Ken, except when we're around you, then we're bi. So,
like Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
So you're saying that he's kind of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he's the Tom Cruise.
He's the Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and I'm Oprah.
And there's many more love stories I guess we didn't get to tonight.
Oh, well, we can get to them. I don't mean to be cutting you off.
Great. Okay.
I'll fade down the music, dude. I mean, don't dare me.
Oh, I sent you a song. I just emailed you a song. Oh. I had a little session down in Waco with my buddy Brandon.
Oh,
right on.
Recorded a little protest song. It's very rough, but you might want to check your email.
I will do that after the show. Can we put it on the website, or would you rather
sure
that nobody hear it? Okay, cool. Was there a particular love story that we didn't get to today that you? Because I don't want you to feel unfulfilled as a
my mind runs to all of these absurd stories. You know, are we going into some sort of musical break now?
Well, we could be, or we could just let you entertain us.
No
pressure.
I've never talked about this girlfriend I had. She was a little. She used to say, you know, I want you to tie me up, and then I say, are you sure? I don't really want to tie you up. And she said, no, I like it, you know. And so I had a Boy Scout belt, you know. So I said, okay, hold on. And I'm like wrapping it around her wrist, and she goes, you're not doing it right. Let me do it. and this is really sensitive stuff, but she would not do oral. You know, I don't want to say that too loud because somebody might be listening. She would not do it. And because she'd been abused by a family member when she was young, and I did consider that a very sensitive situation. So, you know, I said, "You'll suck your Uncle Tony's dick, but you won't give me any." You fucking peas.
There are boundaries, aren't there?
Yeah, and, you know, and when you're alone, you tend to go back to you relive these experiences over and over.
You know what I'm concerned about? You had the Boy Scout belt that you weren't tying properly. Were you part of a kind of a lousy troop? Or, I mean, isn't there some kind of badge you can't?
I know how to tie a square knot. Don't worry about it. I just didn't want to tie up my girlfriend, you know? I don't know where that came from. Well, I can guess. But it just seemed odd. And, of course, I didn't handle
this
it very
the definition of uncomfortable moment.
So when did it happen when you wrote a song?
Please save us.
I did write a song about her. Yeah.
I bet you did, huh?
Yeah,
she said, you have to, I was, you know, I had not, I was just very emotional about this being in love, and I cried a little bit, and she said, you're depressing me. No, it's true. But she said, you have to let love in. You have to let love in. And
is that how she talked?
No, nah, I'm kind
while
of exaggerating.
She was tied up. Or...
And I said, okay, fine. You know, I'm gonna offer you, honey. And then she left. Then she went off. She went off to do some sort of camping trip with the Renaissance Festival. I don't know what it was. I haven't heard from her since.
Dude, you dodged.
But I wrote a song for her called "Let Love In."
You dodged a bullet.
Big time.
Well, it's beautiful that you kept your word even through this time of terrible adversity.
Thank you, Sean.
So, "Let Love In" is available for download at KenTereski.com?
No, I don't have a decent enough recording. I perform it fairly often, but it's one of those songs I've been trying to get it right.
What's keeping you from creating the complete Ken Toretsky songbook on A-Track or DVD?
Decent production.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got the demos all done. I mean, the rough demos. But really, I was talking to a friend today about it's just producing things properly, cleanly, but also producing them so you get the best out of them.
Not fear of success?
And fear of success.
All right.
Absolutely, you got it.
All right.
That's probably what's keeping me from...
See, I have no fear of success. That's why we do the show every week.
I've
given up on the dream, and we just plow forward. As Stephen Colbert says, moving on.
Well, go for it.
Yeah, we really need to get some fear of success.
Don't ruin us.
Yeah, maybe you should develop a healthy sense.
Just a healthy sense of fear of success.
Well, fear of success ruins Schnauzer logic. Well, we want to encourage you. What can we do to encourage you? Can people send emails? Can they write? Can they call? Can they do something to encourage you not to be afraid of being the best you can be?
Really, I guess they can first get me gigs, then come out to the gigs and just, like, act real sensitive. you can't offend us. You can't hurt our feelings. Just go for it. You know, if there's something, you know, we'll take notes. And if there's something wrong with the set, we'll let you know and we'll help you work it out.
You have a band of regulars that you play with? Or?
I've got friends, you know, all around, and we get together and sometimes we jam or we record stuff. And mostly we talk about what idiots eat. Whoever isn't there is a drunken idiot.
Okay.
And God knows what they're saying about me, that he doesn't drink enough. That's his problem.
That is a powerful glue that binds men. That is backstab and talk, I find, has been the epoxy that has held so many relationships together.
Well, you got to work it out somewhere, right? You got to blow off steam. I don't want to keep my misery all to myself. I just consider it my gift to the world. Get it out there.
All right. Well,
Robin, I want to wish you the very best.
Oh,
the Gamma Knife, you know, it just sounds like a walk in the park.
I just need to lie there with a baseball cap screwed to my head. So it'll make more sense at the beginning of the show.
Well, those doctors know what they're doing, and I think Parviz is going to take good care of the show.
I'll be all right. I'll keep this train moving, and Ken, you're going to be my my 2-hour guest.
Could you sound any less interested?
No. Yeah, Sean and Sherry. You know, I'm like, you know, I came in late.
No, but Ken, you and I can just riff for 2 hours, and we'll talk about women and Boy Scouts.
But Parviz, I don't understand anything you say either.
I'm not speaking in Spanish, Ken. It's all English.
But you've got those great Spanish stories.
It's going to be plumbing talk for 2 hours.
I'll plumb you.
Welcome back to plumbing talk.
Are you going to have somebody post on the site while you're out, Robin? Or give us an update?
I think we're going to do
Robin's going to be right back next Wednesday.
We're doing a show next week, baby.
Cool.
I'm blowing right through this thing. I'm not taking any responsibility, but we're doing the show today. We're doing the show next Wednesday. We're going to keep on doing the show. Maybe Bobby Slayton. I'm going to contact Bobby Slayton and see if he wants to do the show next week, see if he's available for us.
Okay, I tell you what, write down all of our names and numbers.
Okay.
In a safe place.
Yes?
Yes.
And then, how do you remember?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think the possibility of that happening during this part of the surgery is not. It's down the road when all that fun stuff may happen. So that's stuff to look forward to.
Okay, we're hoping for the best.
We'll have an audio record. Yes, but we are hoping for the best. And I thank you for those kind words and good thoughts. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Okay.
And when I say my friend, I mean that sincerely. You are you have become our friend, an integral part of what we do here. You bring the funny and the interesting every time we have you on here, and we hope that you have major success.
Absolutely. Oh, and you too, and
stop
everybody.
Stop being afraid of this bullshit.
Got a nice thing going on here.
Just fuck everybody and do what you want to do and go for the gold, my friend.
Okay.
All right. That was my mom. I was channeling my mom. She never ever said that, but
my mom would say, you know, will you please just get a job?
There you go. All right, KenTuretsky.com is the website. You're over on MySpace.com/KenTuretsky, and you can hear his stuff over on the Red Peter Show, over on Sirius Satellite Radio. He's a bigger deal than we are. Ken Zaretsky, thank you so very much,
thank
my
you,
friend.
Ken.
Thanks, Robin.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Sherry, Parviz, Sean.
All right.
We'll Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton. Sounds like a Jew.
Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton. Not to be confused with Bobby Kelton. We're going to also maybe have the same show. Okay. We'll take a break. We're playing Grammy songs today, and there you go. All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
Bye, Sean.
Yeah, I hung up on him. Sorry.
Oh.
You're always like 1 second too late.
All right.
All right. One more break. One more song. Come back with Eliza. We want to talk about what's going on at Harvard, and then we'll put this bubby to bed.
Okay.
Not as opposed to putting it down.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
just very tired.
You're very tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the show does it to you. It's kind of a
this show winds me
tsunami
down.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm all wired, and then when I get to the show,
didn't
wind
Ken's
it down.
Story kind of perk you up?
Ken's awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
cool.
him. We could easily do 2 hours with him every week.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easily.
I'm trying to figure out what to play here.
How about the end?
Okay, fuck you.
And in the end, doo-dee-dee-dee.
All right.
Love
we'll just play something and we'll come back on the other side, all right? All right, we're going
to
take a break.
Equal to the love you make. All right. Sorry.
I just wanted to showcase your talents.
Yeah, you already pushed the button.
Anything else?
No, nothing else. Nothing. Let's put the puppy to sleep, as we say, in the business.
Okay, we'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
thousand million miles away or just a mile up the road. Take it in, take it with you when you go. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go back? Been all around the world, and as a matter of fact, there's only one place left I wanna go. Who says you can't go home? It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Who says you can't go home? It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Who says you can't go home? It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Who says you can't?
Ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line. Then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him. The man who saves them all.
Welcome back. We're about 58 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. We haven't heard that song in a long time.
I know. It's such a beautiful song.
This is going to be devoted to you.
This next segment.
This segment is all about you.
All right. Let's bring it on.
Now, do you have a plumbing update? Because we're going to kind of do a joint combined plumbing update Ask Parviz segment here.
Okay.
So I want to get you involved in the show. I feel like the last few weeks, you've been, what's the word I'm looking for? Yawning. And so
I haven't been yawning. Did you hear Ken Toresky?
Yes.
Yes. He says that you've been very mean to me.
It's not true.
Well.
Okay.
I don't know what show he's listening to.
It's not this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Plumbing update.
Plumbing update.
I'm coming up on 1 year.
Holy crap.
Of being a plumber, beginning of April. So I got a couple more months. It'll be 1 year that I've been a plumber.
Now, when you started, you took great delight each week in telling us that you knew nothing. And
yes.
And you would laugh sort of ridiculously.
And surprisingly, 10 months later.
Yes.
I've actually am learning.
Something.
Something.
What do you know?
Oh, not much. But I'm learning something. But as a matter of fact, this last week, I have been given more compliments. Are you yawning?
No.
I have been given more compliments and more love from my job this last week than ever before.
Wow.
And I think that I'm coming around to my fruition.
Your fruition?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm coming around
so
to...
Like a fruit.
Yeah, little fruity.
Like a little fruity.
I'm hanging on a tree, and I haven't yet ripened.
Okay.
But I'm blossoming.
Are you like low-hanging fruit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of citrusy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plump.
Correct. Plump. I'm coming into my own, and people are starting to realize my work habits.
Yes.
And people are actually asking for me to work with them.
Wow.
Which is good.
By name?
No, by plumpness.
Okay.
and it's all good. It is absolutely all good. As a matter of fact, 1 year ago today, I was in such a different frame of mind.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing how different my life is.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Not a very interesting story, but...
What do you mean not an interesting story?
Well, because there's no drama. You used to be here every week. You used to bring the drama. There's no drama anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a story without the drama.
Yeah, I haven't had any real close calls with injuries or anything like that.
No. You just kind of go and do your job every day, and then you come home and don't strip your wife. You're like millions of Americans.
No, actually, I've been doing a lot of overtime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With your wife. Yeah, nobody can see what you're doing.
I know. That's what's called no editing. And everything's fine. Everything's really, really good.
Okay. Yeah. I interrupted Sherry. I apologize.
No, I just have a quick question. So you're an apprentice.
Parviz.
Yes. Apprentice for 5 years.
5 years. That was the question. How long? Five years.
I just started a new semester of school last week, so I got a brand new teacher.
Okay.
And I should have brought a photo. There's a photo. We were in a
So this is like what, butt crack 102? Yuck, 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 yuck.
No, it's plumbing 102. Hey, nothing funny. Butt crack was funny.
No,
but plumbing 102, and it's a schooling. It's just like regular school. I'll have summers off.
Still Wednesdays?
Tuesday, Thursday. We're here Wednesday.
Okay, right. I forgot.
Wow.
I can't ever tell. All right, fine.
All right.
And now
it's time for your favorite segment of the week.
You know, he didn't know that this was Jason.
Parviz Vitali.
Jason Nathanson?
Vitali.
Does it sound like Jason, does it? Does it?
It does.
Not this part. This is Ken Turetsky.
Is it really?
I know a man named Otis who invented a room, and his heart was filled with pride.
Why are you making that
I
face?
Said to Mr.
It's
Otis,
a good song.
What does your room do? He said it goes from side to side. So I said, Mr. Otis, if you take my advice,
God, I love this part of the show.
You'll be the richest man in town.
We never do it.
That's all about
you.
That
it is.
From side to side.
Spotlight's on me.
And make it go up and down.
I got to bring the funny right here.
That was good advice.
A lot of pressure.
Good advice.
I can do it.
Good advice costs nothing and it's
no fair success.
Price.
Let me clear my throat.
I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
Did I wake up or what?
All of a sudden,
wow.
It's about
wow.
you.
It's about me. Let's bring it on. All right, give me the question.
So people can either call, they can either send email to Parviz at ParvizParviz.com or Robin at Schnauzerlogic.com or Parviz at Schnauzerlogic.com. But mostly what they do is they call the phone number, which is area code 206-666-6540, and can leave questions for you. And we've had a string of questions over the past few weeks, and I thought
right,
we would
don't
play
lie to me.
One of them. And
Parviz, can I ask you a question?
Hello there.
Hey, it's Teresa from Indianapolis.
Wow.
Hi, everybody. I love Schnauzer Logic. My question for Parviz is this. When your iPod is broken and the normal way you listen to Schnauzer Logic is on insanely long drives between Indianapolis and Detroit, and you finally get it fixed, how do you possibly catch up on all the Schnauzer Logic podcasts that you've missed? I'm still listening to November 15th, so I'm really glad that the Ask Parviz segment still exists. And maybe sometime in March, I'll actually hear my question on the air. Thanks a lot. You guys do a great job. Oh. Bye-bye.
Actually, it was February 14th that her question's on the air, but...
Well, no, but she won't catch it till March. Well,
that's true.
Because she's listening to the show back from November.
She may be caught up now.
So can I come up with an answer like next week or maybe in March?
Sure.
No. Okay. So first of all, that's awesome. That was a legitimate person.
Yes.
This shit works. Wow. We didn't have to have a phony voice or anything.
No.
Wow. Teresa from Indiana, correct?
Indianapolis.
Wow. She sounds hot.
Yeah.
All right, Teresa. Now, when your iPod, first of all, her question is, how do you?
I think the question is, do you have to listen to them in order?
No. Her question is, how do you listen to so many shows?
Do you feel an obligation to listen to the show all the way through?
Personally?
No. So I'm trying to paraphrase the question.
Oh.
And okay. We lost him.
No.
We had him.
No,
and we
keep
lost
me on track.
Him.
Keep me on track. Okay, this was my advice. What you have to do is you have to get rid of. What was that?
Tell her to drive slower.
Oh, Sherry says drive slower. No, this is.
Thanks for throwing Sherry under the bus.
Oh, I will take her down with me. What was it, Sherry?
Chinatown.
More frequent trips.
Why are you whispering off mic so that nobody can hear you?
Okay,
Parviz
this is my
you.
Advice.
This segment, I want to give it all to him.
I
all
right. see, okay.
This is, whoa, that sounds nice on Valentine's Day. So
I don't have time to do it twice.
Whoa. My advice to Teresa from Indiana is
and
this.
And we're out of time.
No, come on.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Was it in Indianapolis? My advice to Teresa is this. She asked, how do you listen to all the Schnauzer Logic shows, blah, 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 blah.
Parviz.
God, I love
Can
that
I
voice.
Ask you a question? Hey, it's Teresa from Indianapolis.
Okay.
Hi.
Indianapolis. I just like the way she said Parviz. One more time. Just let me hear it one more time. There we go. One more time.
Parviz.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
It's kind of sexy. All right. Okay. This is my answer. The way you listen to this show continuously, truthfully, is you cannot have a family. You cannot have a life. You cannot be watching any kind of TV. You have to have it playing continuously. Once one show is done, you continue on to the next show. When you have long drives, you play it in the car, right? When you have, listen, just hear me out here. It's Valentine's Day, okay? She's probably listening to right now, Schnauzer Logic, right now when she's with her boyfriend or husband, right? You have it continuously playing. Right now when they're having dinner, you have it continuously playing.
So you're saying that this is not a show. This is really, this is a movement. This is a religion. This is a...
When you say movement, what do you mean? You always seem disappointed. You always seem disappointed. Wait, turn off the music. Turn off the music. You always seem disappointed in my answers. You always seem disappointed. How many times have we done this segment?
A lot.
Okay. When was the last time we did this segment?
Weeks ago.
Okay. You were disappointed then.
No, I wasn't. Was I?
You were disappointed then.
My dog is a plumber.
Get rid of Kevin.
Must be a boy.
I want to hear that lady again. She's
although
hot.
I must tell you, his favorite
Teresa, you're
toy
beautiful.
Is
you
a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl.
Every time I think of Dick Cavett, I think of John Lennon.
Since he
every
can't
time.
Throw a ball and he can't climb a fence.
Well, I'm not disappointed. I think it was a fine answer.
It was a very fine answer.
But it wasn't a comedy answer.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. You told me before the show this is not a comedy show.
I didn't think it had to be a comedy.
You told me before the show this is not a comedy show.
It didn't have to be a comedy answer.
I didn't say it was going to be a comedy answer.
So why do you think I'm disappointed? I'm not disappointed.
You always roll your eyes at me.
Did I roll my eyes at him?
I was looking at Parviz.
Everybody, you have a complex, my friend.
I do.
You think people are out to get you. Yeah. I love you.
Do you?
I love you.
All right.
I love you.
I love you, too. All right, thanks. We're wrapping it up, everybody. Thanks to Sherry. Thanks to Robin. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to Ken. Thanks to Jason. And thank you, everybody, for being part of this show. Once again, I'm a white man.
straight white plumber.
I'm a straight white plumber
with a
bald head and a little goatee and a little crack in my ass. And I just wanted to say that, here at Schnauzer Logic, we like to... I don't have the flow. That's why I can't be a leader. You cannot die, Robin. You cannot die. We need you every week. Every freaking week we need you.
It's a good reason to stay alive.
It is.
Really
do you
is.
Want to hear this voice for 2 hours? Hey, I'm a straight white Buddhist vegetarian jerk. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. But anyways, audience out there in podcast land, thank you so much for listening to the show. We will hear from you next week. You will hear Schnauzer Logic, volume number 48 next week.
47.
No. Is it 47?
Yeah.
Oh, I took a stab at it. And we'll have break guests. We'll bring in the funny. And we'll also have some sad moments. I guarantee you. I guarantee next week we'll have sad moments because I don't think we're going to edit again. And if we continue this trend of not editing, what's going to be called lulls? You're going to hear a lot of those. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Mike Tyson next week and a little bit about Mark Curry. You know who Mark Curry is?
DJ.
No, black comedian.
Okay.
Yeah, he almost killed himself this week. He almost committed suicide.
Really?
Yeah, he burned himself in his home, a can of paint or solvent or something. He burned 18% of his body, and he was so depressed by that he was taking painkillers and medication. He was going to take a whole bunch and kill himself. He said he would look down at his hand, and it was so grotesque he would actually throw up. He was so depressed he spoke to Bill Cosby and one other comedian. They brought him out of a funk. He was a man of Mr. Hanging with Mr. Hooper. But I'll talk more about that next week. And we're going to find out who this sax player is.
You got 2 minutes and 54 seconds left.
Oh, shit. And, I'm watching American Idol. I love American Idol. That show is kicking ass. I'm a plumber.
Did I mention that?
Did I mention that? I'm a plumber. And, I play a lot of solitaire on the computer. I do play a lot of solitaire on the computer. Lately, I have been. I don't know why. It's a lonely life. And
a co-host that you could throw it over to. And
Sherry! Why, Sherry? Well, this was my time, though. It's not a co-host time.
So, it is your time.
It is my time. So,
and now you need to start wrapping up your own show.
Yes. As you can tell, I'm growing a beard. Have you noticed that?
I was wondering what was up with that.
I decided to let it go, and I want to try to see if I can become the... bald beard guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think? Does it make
me
look older?
The head?
I have no hair on the head.
Well, no, you. I can
very
see.
Little, but thicker right here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But do you ever like? Do you have bald spots?
Oh,
and stuff?
Really quick, really quick. I got a quick story. Quick story happened over the weekend. Okay, how many minutes do I have?
Less than a minute.
Okay, really quickly. Over the weekend, I went to. Saturday, I had to take my niece. My sister-in-law calls me. She goes, "I need your help." Justin and Brookie. They're my niece and nephew. They're 9 and 7. They each have a game on this at the same time on Saturday. You need to take one of them. Which one do you want to take? I said, I'll take... You know what? This story isn't going to go anywhere. I can be honest with you. It's not going anywhere.
You said you're going to take Brooke.
No, I said Justin.
Okay.
And Brookie got upset with me.
Right.
And she gave me a big guilt trip.
Yep.
So I told her, I can't tell you what, I will take you to your game, Brooke, but I'm going to act like a monkey the whole time. And when I'm there next to the coach acting like a monkey, you better look at me and tell everybody how much you love me.
Do you guys realize what an ego boost the last 4 minutes have been for me?
Realizing how tough this is?
No, well, that's,
and
that's
you make it look so easy? Is that why? Yeah, because you're a pro. Leave it to the amateurs.
Did you act like a monkey?
No, but I threatened that I would, and you know what she told me? She goes, okay, Uncle, go ahead and go to Justin's game. I don't want you to come to mine.
All right, and scene. And that's it.
Wow.
So next week, another brand new show.
Wait, that's my
line. Thank you all for the folks who have been giving us good props, and also thank you so very much for the well wishes on the medical stuff. Fingers crossed, things are going to be great. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Until next week, show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. www.schnauzerlogic.com, robinschnauzerlogic.com, 206-666-6540. Leave
Happy
more
Valentine's
questions for
Father.
Happy Valentine's Day. We love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.